Simi Gidri, which means I'm going out of the norm. I don't usually introduce speakers. It's not something that I remember. I probably did it once or twice, but I don't remember ever really doing it. Manasmanim, we had, you know, situations. But Bederach Klal, if someone comes to speak in yeshiva, we just allow them to speak for themselves. But this is an exception to the rule. Rabbi Diamond, who has offered to come speak and accepted our invitation, it's a very special privilege and pleasure for us. Not that I know Rabbi Diamond very well. I think it might even be the first time we met was just a few days ago. But for two reasons, I feel it's a very big privilege. First of all, because one of my dearest friends, Rabbi Yitzchak Fuchs, who many of you know, otherwise known as Yitzi Fuchs, is always talks about Rabbi Diamond, about Rabbi Diamond being his go-to when he needs hadracha and needs etza. So that already is enough of a haskama for me to feel that it's a privilege to have such a person come grace our base medrash. But aside from that, Rabbi Diamond is the menahel of Yeshiva Shar Yosef. Now, I spoke about many times about Reb Shlomo Freifeld and about the influence that he had on my life and also on the imprint on this yeshiva. And we spoke about it 2 weeks ago about like Reb Shlomo's Kiddush that he made Shabbos morning. This is the second week in a row that I spoke by the Kiddush. And a lot of what we're doing is really kind of trying to model what Reb Shlomo Freifeld had established in the Yeshiva Shar Yosef. It's a different time and everything, different place, and you know, things are very different. But very often I try to think in my mind, whatever I understand of Reb Shlomo, you know, what would Reb Shlomo say under these circumstances and how would he want us to run the yeshiva? So to have the menahel of Yeshiva Shar Yosef, which is, you know, Reb Shlomo's legacy, to be able to come here to speak in the yeshiva, I feel is a very big privilege. And I very much was hungry to be able to hear even a little bit, you know, of the Shar Yosef, but my disappointment, I have a conflicting schedule, so I can't really stay at the moment. But for that reason, I really wanted to impress upon you how honored I feel that we have Rabbi Diamond coming to speak for us. Without further ado, Baruch Diamond. Everything you got.
Okay, I'm going for it. If any of you can get me into Yitzi's camp, please, help me out. Some of you who were in the camp probably know my son Pesach. He was there last year as a counselor. Anyway, I just want to share a few thoughts with you. It's very beautiful to be in a yeshiva and talk in terms about the godless of being in yeshiva, what a yeshiva is all about. I heard a Meredith Devart a couple of weeks ago. It says, Asara Dairis Ma'adim Vad Nayach. There were 10 Dairis from 10 generations from Adam to Nayach. La'idiya kam erech apayim lefanov. Shikala Dairis hei machis in ubonach hevi alemis mea bambal. It shows the patience that Kadosh Baruch Hu had, because until Nayach, they were machis and obayin, they were continuing to give a Rein Shalom kas. Until Nayach came, and what happened? The Mabel came. The next mission, we have the same thing. Asar Adaris from Nayach van Avram. Same machis and obayin. Achabar Avram v'kibel schar kulam. So here you have Nayach, Mabel. Avram Avinu, schar kulam. What's the chilek? Nayach is tzaddik. What happened? So they say a beautiful pshat. Shtikl of a slanim of pshat. They say like this. Vatimol haaretz chamas. Why did the Mabel come? Because of chamas. The chamas, the gneva, was pachs meshava pruta. It was less than a shava pruta. That was the chamas. So the question is, we know that they were over the big three. Avaydazar, gil aras, and shvichas damim. So chametz is going to do it? What happened to everything else? So the teretz they say is that all the other things, the three averis, they're averis. And a person could do tshuva. Chametz, pachas meshava pruta. Why was it pachas meshava pruta? Because pachas meshava pruta, you don't have to return. They were stealing with the kavana that they'll never give it back. That's the ultimate taker. When a person is a taker, it causes mabul. Avraham Avinu, on the other hand, the Rabbi Nishalom had to bring, brought the Chamer Nartika, he brought the Hatsan. Avraham Avinu was after a Mila. He was waiting to do Achnasas Arachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, not today. It bothered Avraham Avinu so much that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to bring the Malachim. We know, Vayita Eshel, Eshel is Achil, Ashti, and Lina. So Avraham Avinu had a bed and breakfast because he had Shtiya, Achila, and then Lina. So that means the people from last night were still in his place. So he was serving them breakfast. So what was his problem of not doing Achnasas Arachim? He was doing Achnasas Arachim. The answer to that is, yes, he was doing Achnasas Arachim, but his tafkid of Achnasas Arachim was to bring people closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those people who were there yesterday, he got them already. He got them to be on the Kanfei Hashchina. Today is a new day. He wanted new people. And because he wanted new people and he couldn't have new people to be able to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was so upset. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to make a matzah that you can give. Avraham Avinu was the ultimate giver. And because Avraham Avinu was the ultimate giver, he was not Tzchar Kula. So there are takers and there are givers. Takers, Mabel. Givers, not Tzchar Kula. Very Nageya to Yeshiva. We have the opportunity to do the Chesed. We have the opportunity to do things for other people. We have the opportunity to take from other people. What choice are we going to take? Mabel or Schar? And that's the choice we have every single day. And many times, you don't realize what you're doing and what you're giving. Rapam Zatzal used to talk to us always about the concept of Chesed. And he said, Chesed is not just giving the big bucks. Chesed is learning with a younger bacher. Chesed is having a toiv ayin, having a good eye for another person. Chesed is being somebody who's down lakav schos. Zemari dekamaisa with Rapam. One of my chaverim was walking Rapam home from yeshiva. They were talking about an inyan, and they weren't finished yet. So they were standing by the corner of Rapam's block and they were continuing the conversation. And as they're talking, this Russian lady, Babushka, comes over to Rapam and she says to him, Rebbe, Rebbe, give me a bracha. So Rapam looks at her and says, what type of a bracha would you like? She says, "Give me a bracha as ich soll haben ehrliche Kinder. Give me a bracha that my children should be ehrlich, that I should have good children." So Rapam, my friend, tells me, Rapam laid it on thick and gave this most beautiful bracha to this woman. She turns to Rapam and she says, Adank, Rebbe, thank you." Then all of a sudden she gives him this biggest bear hug he ever got in his life. Whoa! This younger man started running. He goes, oh gosh, I'm next. But then afterwards he comes back and he's waiting to see and to hear what Rapam's reaction is. He was waiting for Rapam to say, oh, it wasn't my fault. Or maybe I got to go to mikveh now. What was Rapam's reaction? Rapam's reaction was, Mi ka'amcha Yisrael. Look at us. Look at Klal Yisrael. Here you have a woman who's such a pashut woman. She didn't even know that it's not proper to give me that hug. And what's she asking for? Erlich children. Wow. The Rabbeinu Shalom's kinder. The Rabbeinu Shalom's children. Tevayin. Dan Lekav Schus. Have it done as Kol Ha'adam Lekav Schus. What does it say, Kol Ha'adam? Because you can't just look at the situation. You can't look at it now. What's going on now? Why did he do this? Why did he slight me? Why was he not nice to me? You can't do that. Dan as Kol Ha'adam. You look at the person's whole situation. Maybe he's having a rough time. Maybe he's having a rough day. Maybe stuff isn't going on so easily for him. And maybe instead of being insulted, I should really try to help him. That is a giver. That's what we can emulate, and that's the opportunity a person has when he's in yeshiva. To understand. A person can be a giver just by listening. You know, your friend wants to talk to you. Leave me alone. Pass the mustard. Bug off. Believe me, I've been listening to Yitzi Fuchs for many years. But the lamaisa is, it's that's one of the biggest chasadim you can do for a person. Yitzchak was lasuach basadeh. It uses the lashon of sicha. What's sicha? Siach is schmoozing. You're schmoozing with the Rabbeinu Shlom in Kaviyacha. What does it mean you're schmoozing with the Rabbeinu Shlom? Hey, what's happening? How's it going? So this pshat is, when a person schmoozes, there's a relationship that you have. How many times do people come over and they say to me, can you please, I really want to talk to you. And many times there's no etzah. And you feel crippled. This guy's coming to talk to me and I have nothing to say. I don't have an etzah for him. I feel pretty stupid. And then I turn to the guy and I say, I'm sorry. I don't have an etzah for you. I really feel bad. And the person says to me, Rebbe, don't worry about that. Just thank you for listening. At least I was able to get it off my chest. Siach is the gematria 318. Yiyush is the gematria 317. You allow a person to have siach, you're one above yiyush. You help the person out. Patience. Chaverschaft. Help each other out. Be that ultimate giver. And many times you don't realize that when you give, you might not see the results right away. You might give a person in Ruchnius. You might help a person in Ruchnius, and you might not see it. You might not know where it's going. And you're saying to yourself, you might be wasting your time. I want to tell you a story of a person who didn't waste his time. And he knew nothing about it. I have a chaver. He moved to Eretz Yisrael. I lost contact with him. But when he lived in America, he was a close chaver. He was Baal Tshuva. He used to make a kiddush every Parshas Chayesara. Because that was the first Shabbos he kept as a firm person. Was that a good kiddush? He was a Navy SEAL. He became firm on a boat, on a ship. He had a chaplain, and the chaplain chapped him on. And the mysterious nefesh that he had to be from was no bounds. He used to connive them to give him a private helicopter to take him from one boat to the next boat, where there was somewhat of a semblance of a kosher kiddush, so he could make guys not cholent, but he went to make challahs for Shabbos. Cholent wasn't in 30 years ago. To be a Navy SEAL, the guy told me some of the things he had to go through in training. He had to hold a telephone pole, and they would, two guys together, and they would have to go into the water, and the waves would go over them. And if one guy would drop the pole, the other guy would, they would both drop. And there was a lot of teamwork. And it was a very, very difficult training that he went through. But he was mice and nefesh for Yiddishkeit. Every morning, he got up early, and he put on his tefillin. He davened. And he had a buddy. And his buddy was an irreligious Jew. And he would turn to him and he'd say, John, maybe put on the tefillin today. And he would say to him, leave me alone. Bug off. And he would respect him tremendously. And he would say to him, I understand you. I really do. But if you ever want to, feel free to come over to me. And I apologize for asking you. And do you mind if I ask you again? He says, Dave, do whatever you want. Just do whatever you want. You want to ask me? Ask me. But you ain't going to get anywhere. And he went and he was mechaven that he said Shema out loud all the time. When he got up to Shema, he said it out loud. They were in Guatemala. They were teaching them, you know, to fight. The natives, whatever they're called. His friend John was in the front of the pack and he was in the back. All of a sudden he hears his friend John scream. And he says, Dave, come over right away. I stepped on a bouncing Betty. What's a bouncing Betty? It's a mine. But it's not a mine that a person just steps on and it blows them up. It's a mine that a person steps on. He knows he stepped on it because he hears the crunch. But it only blows up after the person takes his weight off the mine. So here's this guy, stepped on the mine. He knows he's gone. And it's something which is very, very painful because you know you're gone. You know, like your language, you never know. A mine, okay, it blows you up. Here he knows that his time is limited. Should he get off the mine? Should he not get off the mine? What should he do? And he calls his friend Dave, do me a favor. I ask you one last favor. Crawl over to me. I have a letter in my breast pocket which I have for my parents. Please, please, I beg of you. Crawl over and take that letter so at least my parents, I could say goodbye to them. Dave told me he didn't know what to do. But he decided, Savas Shrivmara, and he felt he had to do it. They were close friends. He goes, little by little, he goes there. He finally makes it. Baruch Hashem, he didn't hit anything. And his friend hands him the letter. And he hears his friend mumbling. And he says to him, John, what are you mumbling? So he says it a little louder. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. He said, Dave, I didn't have the guts and I was too proud to say to you that I want to put on those tefillin. But when you were saying Shema Yisrael, I was saying it quietly. You were the ultimate gentleman. You didn't push me. You respected me. You didn't stop trying. And I believe because of you. Dave, I'm not afraid to die. Because I know there's a God who's going to greet me. And he tells him, Dave, please, move back. Dave said he couldn't stop crying. But he moved back. And then all of a sudden, in the loudest voice he's ever heard in his life, he hears, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Boom. Straight to Gan Eden. Didn't think he was accomplishing anything. But he was a good friend, He was a patient friend. He was a friend who didn't push, but didn't give up. Was always there for him. And ultimately, who are we to say this? But he probably got this fellow into the pathway of Gan Eden. Because B'makim Shebal Tshuva Oimdim Ein Tzadikim V'mom Yichad Olam. We have these opportunities. I'm not telling any of you to be a Navy SEAL. I'm not telling any of you to go outside and put on tefillin to all the people around. Just I'm telling you, within the confines of your own base medrash, help each other out. Work with each other. Shayashu would say, hug each other. Be besimcha with each other. Understand that the way you act, you put on a smile, it's electrifying. Your face is a Rishus Haram. And if you walk in as a Bregis Benny, then the room ends up being, you can cut the ear. You walk in B'Simcha, then it changes the whole atmosphere. That's another chesed a person can do. And like they say in Yiddish, Sekos Nishkan Geld. Doesn't cost any money. Treat the person in a proper way. In last week's Haftarah, we find a maridika thing. In last week's Haftarah, David HaMelech is commanding his son before his death. And he's saying to him, this is what I want you to do. And he says, Uvenei Barzilai, and to the Bnei Barzilai, Hagiladi, Tasa Chesed, Vahayu Ba'ichle Shulchanecha. The Bnei Barzilai do Chesed, and they should be Ba'ichle Shulchanecha. Meaning that they should always sit and they should eat in your at your table. In other words, they should be your housebacher. They should always be invited. When you make a big party, let them come. Why? Because they were makarv alai, Eli, sorry. They were makarv themselves to me. What does that mean? Just because they gave him something to eat, they gave David HaMelech to eat some meal, they should give him a nice present. You know, like at a dinner, right? The guy works his head off for your dinner, right? And he's a guest of honor. What does he get? He gets a big plaque with his name on it, which usually goes in the washing machine room, because what are you doing with a plaque? So give him a plaque. They have to be Yashrei Shulchanecha. They have to be able to be part of the party all the time. Shlaima HaMelech is making a big thing. Oh, don't forget B'nai Barzilai. What's this all about? When David HaMelech was running for his life from Avshalom, he was an ani ve'evyon. He had nothing. So there are two approaches that the B'nai Barzilai could take. One approach is, David's going to come to us. David's not the king anymore. He's a fugitive now. So you know what? He needs bread. Okay, let him knock on our door and we'll give him bread. But David HaMelech said, this is not what they did for me. Tasa chezeki chen karvu elai. They came to me. They said, David, you're down and out. You're running for your life. But you want to know something, David? You're still the king. You're our man. You're the man. You might be running now. You might not have anything now. But we understand who you are. You're the Melech. And that gave David a tremendous amount of chizuk. And because of that chizuk, David said, they have to be Yashrei Shulchanecha. A person can do something for another person, Yaitze Tzayin. You do something, because you know it's the right thing to do. There's a knock on your door, you give the guy 20 bucks tzedakah. Why? Because you feel guilty to eat your steak. Now I can eat the steak, I gave him 20 bucks. But if you take the person, and you machshav the person, and you show them that you thank you for the opportunity to do the chesed to you, then you end up being a yeshiva shulchan echa. Then you can be a yeshiva shulchan echa of the Rabbeinu Shleil. Why? Because you didn't do it just yoytze to Zion. You didn't do it just to be yoytze, but you're doing it as the havas chesed that a person wants. And when a person does it, mitzvah havas chesed, the Rabbeinu Shleil will take you and will appreciate and will have akara. He will recognize the goodness that you did to the other person. We're here in yeshiva. Yeshiva is a time and a place we can develop these relationships. It's a time where a person has the time to develop that relationship. How many times at my age you make chasanas, Baruch Hashem, and you have to invite the person who sits next to you in shul because he says to you, oh, where were you last week? Oh, my daughter Shabbos Shever Brachas. Oh, you made a chasanas. They say, you don't want to get in trouble. You sit next to the guy for 10 years, but you don't want to get in trouble, so you invite him to your chasana. But who do you want at your chasana? Your buddies from the years that you were in yeshiva. How many times do you meet somebody and you just haven't seen him in 10 years, but he's a buddy from yeshiva, and you can just sit and schmooze as if you saw each other for the past 10 years? Because these are the relationships, these are the friendships that develop in yeshiva. Because that's what it's about. The Torah, the Avoda, and the Gemilas Chasadim. Of being a good friend. And that's something which we should cherish. Something which we should understand. Life gets busy. And it's always good to have that friend to be able to share it with. It's always good to have that friend to have that siach, to have that shmuz with. It's always good to have that friend to be able to have a geshmaka time with. And this is developed here in the yeshiva. And from what I understand, this is the yeshiva to be able to do that. Because the warmth of the Rosh Yeshiva says that he's taking it from a Freifel, he has the right person to take it from. Because he was a person who just totally, totally was there for his Talmidim. And the way I understand, that's what the Rabbeim and the Rosh Yeshiva are for you. They're here for you. So just use them. Bug them. Take that opportunity. Because that's what we did to our Rebbeim. And it's something I remember when one of my Rebbeim was Nifta. So the Rebbetzin turned to me and said, so what are you going to do now? So I said, what am I going to do? I'm just going to think and say to myself, what would Rebbe want me to do? And that's a relationship that you guys can develop with your Rebbeim within your Rosh Yeshiva. Because they have a lot to give over, and you have the opportunity to do it. So the Eibishter should help us all, that we should be zeicha to do that chesed, to understand that chesed, to realize that when you don't know, when you think nothing's happening, a lot is happening. And you can do a lot with that. And the Eibishter should help that through everything that we do, the Torah, which I hear, the beautiful Kol Torah that's coming out from here, has been assigned with a beautiful thought, a beautiful story. Somebody told me that he went to be Menachem Avil by Reb Chaim Epstein, the Rosh Yeshiva of Zichron Melech, and the son told him that their father had two pictures on his desk where he learned. One picture was of Leilenu, ghetto Yidin, who had the yellow star, sitting in the ghetto on learning Torah. And the second picture was the famous picture of Reb Aaron talking and learning with Reb Baruch Ber. And he had it on his desk. And one summer they were going up to the mountains for a few weeks, and they packed the car, and Reb Chaim Epstein started driving. And then he turns around and he goes back home. His son follows him into the house. He goes to his desk, takes those two pictures, and he puts it in his pocket. The son kept quiet. They get to the mountains. Finally, the son turns and, Ta, why did you go back to take those two pictures? So he says, I'll tell you the truth, I can't learn without them. He says, you can't learn without those two pictures? He goes, no, I can't. He says, why not? So he says, I'll tell you. One picture, the picture of the Yidden in the ghetto, wearing the yellow star, and sitting together and learning. I'm a busy person, he said. And many times I'm tired, and many times I don't have cheshik, and many times it's just not going. I look at that picture, and I say, if Yidden in a ghetto, where their lives are almost over, they can sit with a shir, and they can sit and learn, what right do I have not to sit and learn? That's the first picture. And he said, and the second picture? Second picture, he said, I'm a Talmud of Reb Aaron. And I give over Reb Aaron's Torah. And when I give over Reb Aaron's Torah, I have a responsibility. Because I look at this picture, and I see that Reb Aaron is talking to Reb Baruch Be'er, that means Reb Aaron is giving over Reb Baruch Be'er's Torah. So in essence, I'm giving over Reb Baruch Be'er's Torah too. So my Talmidim are listening to this. How can I not learn properly? How can I not learn right? And when I get tired, I just look at that and I say, I have to learn. We have to take our learning and put it in proper perspective. Baruch Hashem, in Eretz Yisrael, once you get back to the States or wherever, life gets a little busier. Take the Torah now. Ground yourselves. Steig with it. Because when life gets busier, you'll be able to turn back and say, wow, I was steiging in Eretz Yisrael. How can I not do it here? I learned in Eretz Yisrael, and I gained so much from my Rebbeim. How can I not continue it? And then you're going to continue. So the Eibush should help that we should all be zeicha to learn, to do our chesed, to understand each other, to communicate with each other, and through that we'll bring a nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and through that v'zachzenu einenu b'shuvcha letzion b'rachmim, the coming of Mashiach b'meir v'yameinu. Amen.